Turn to Proverbs chapter 23 while you're turning there. I'm going to talk to you today, and I'm going to give you a timely reminder. Maybe that's what I should call this message. I don't know. Maybe a better title will jump into my head. But a timely reminder, I think, isn't a bad name for the message. You're on your way to Proverbs. I will tell you a little story. I know, I always tell stories, but a man in Phoenix calls his son up in New York the day before Thanksgiving, and he says, "Hey, I hate to ruin your day, but I just want you to know I've had it. Your mom and I, we're done. Can't do this anymore. Just can't do it. I'm going to have it. We're going to get a divorce." And the son's like, what, Dad, what? Just listen, I don't want to even talk about it right now. Just, I don't even want to talk about it. You call your sister and tell her. And he hangs up. And the young man calls his sister in Chicago, and he's like, "I don't know what's going on. Dad called me up, and he's like, they're talking divorces. I don't know what to do." And she goes, "Just hang on." She says, "I'm going to call him." And she hangs up on him, and she gets a hold of her dad. She says, "Dad, what are you doing? What are you talking about?" He says, "I don't want to talk about it. We're not going to talk about this." And she goes, "Yes, we are. You don't do anything. I'll be there tomorrow with your son, and we're going to talk to you about this." And she hangs up. And he puts the phone down. He says, "Okay, honey, they'll be here for Thanksgiving tomorrow." And they're paying their own way. I love that. Are you in Proverbs 23? We'll look at verse, just one verse, and just kind of real short here. Just this little phrase is all I want to pull from Proverbs 23:7. "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." What do you think about you? It's kind of hard not to think about you, isn't it? It's hard for me not to think about me. I have to think about me because I have to tell me not to do some things and tell me to do other things. And there's lots of things. And I'm the biggest problem I have is me. It really is. And all of our behaviors are affected by what we believe about ourselves. You know that, right? I didn't think I could ever wear contact lenses. And I have them in today, and I couldn't touch my eye. And you know that story. Didn't think I could do it. Didn't think I could ever brush the back of my tongue. I gag too much. And by the way, it did take me from like 2000 to 2010, I think. It took me forever to get to the point where I still once in a while I gag a little bit. You know, I mean, I've overcome some things. Yeah, those are just little things, but there are other things. I'm sure. Do any of you have any of those kind of weird things where you couldn't do it and then you decided you would and then you were able to, like you got over it? Oh, I know one. My wife could not drive stick shift. I took her out when we first got married. I had a little stick shift Corolla SR5, and I says, "Okay, let's learn to drive this." We went on a back road, had her in tears in about 10 minutes. And then when we were pastoring in Amesville, Ohio, we needed a new car. And we went out, and I looked at this little red car, and I had it all. They were all ready for me to sign on the dotted line, and the Lord said, "Don't buy it." I mean, really, I was there thinking I was buying it. They had the contracts. They already had my car unloaded and were washing my old car. And I started to sign it. The Lord said, "Don't do it." And I sat back and took a big, deep breath. And I went, and I leaned in again, and I, "Don't do it." And I looked at these guys, and they were like looking at me funny. And I said, I'm sorry, guys. I don't know how to tell you this, but God just spoke to me, and he said, "Don't do this." And they were like, "What?" They really were not happy with me. And like a week or two later, we were out together, or I saw it and took her. However we got it, there was this little black car. It was a Chevy Spectrum, four-door, black. Cute as bug. You know, just really cute. I liked it. She loved it. She wanted a black car. But then she found out it was a stick. And then she made the statement, "Let's get it. I'll learn to drive it." It's the only car we had, so she had to learn. And folks, remember, we were living in hills at that time. If you've ever been on a hill when you try to let the clutch out, that's a job. You got to learn to She got so good at it. It was shortly after that we ended up in Auburn, Indiana, and the little house we lived in had a driveway where when you were going out it was a gravel drive, and then it came up to Route 427. They're just coming south out of Auburn. She could get out of that driveway without spinning any gravel. I could not. Every time I would get stuck, if a car was coming as I was heading out, I stopped on that little incline. If I let the clutch out, just a little bit, she could do it. She's perfect. And I won't talk about how stubborn she is now. She won't drive one. But nevertheless, we don't have one. That's why we don't have one, brother. I'm not gonna go there again. I had a little green truck. She never drove it once. Anyway, so, you know, there's things we can do. Have any of you ever had that experience where you couldn't do something? Anybody want to share one? What? She can't drive a stick. Yeah, but did she ever overcome it?
No.
That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody who had that experience. I'm looking for an overcomer here this morning. What? Huh?
Heights.
Oh, yeah. Come here. Yeah, come on. Tell the story. I remember hearing it once. Let's hear it again. Here, you guys. Well, tell them about. Okay. Yeah, tell them. Just tell them.
Which one?
Overcoming.
At the end of the boat.
Are you guys going to tell the story or are you just going to argue?
Parasailing. Yeah. Joyce is an instigator. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get shirts made that say, Joyce made me do it.
That's good. I like that.
But no.
Parasailing.
I don't know. Zip lining was good too. Yeah. Like I get petrified when it comes to heights. Like can't move. Horrible. Just can't move. Petrified. And
in the parasail boat, she was definitely just terrified and paralyzed and everything.
But they put the harness on her and just threw her out the back of the boat.
I got to the end of the boat finally, last person. I was going to go first, but this other lady was new, was really excited. So we let her go first, and then I just got more and more fearful. But I crawled to the back of the boat, and I got to the back of the boat, and as soon as I went off the back of the boat, I told the guy, I'm like, don't let me go any higher unless I thumbs up you. I don't want to go higher unless I can take it. Anyway, as soon as I got off the back of the boat, it's like, peace. And I was like, higher, higher, higher. I kept sticking my thumb up to go higher and higher and higher. And it was like one of the most amazing experiences, like being alone with God in heaven. Everything was so quiet and peaceful and beautiful, and it was just life-changing. You know, it's like when you get past that petrifying fear and trust in Him and lean back in Him. The zip lining, I got petrified, couldn't even figure out how to stop the zip line thing. Wasted 9 zip lines. Finally, by the third to the last one, I finally started enjoying it. But the guy, when he took me up the tree, he put me in the gear. And this is really cool, too. This is usable for a sermon. He put me in the gear, and he had me jump off of the side of the tree stand and just hang there. And he said, now just trust your gear. And I'm like hanging off the side of this tree and learning how to trust the gear. And when I started zip lining, it's like I was freaking out and afraid to go. But then like that third and fourth one, the only reason why I enjoyed the zip is because I was like, trust your gear. Trust your gear. Trust your gear.
That's good.
Okay. Yeah, she didn't say that. They actually started her like with the first step. It wasn't even on the tree stand yet, and they were like, okay, lean back, and she wasn't just on the step even. It wasn't even up on the stand yet. So,
yeah.
But then, you know, by the end, she was just, you know, smiling, having a good time. So,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Then I took her on a roller coaster also. The Gatekeeper was her first big roller coaster.
I was so deceived. The internet lies. Watching videos on it is not the same.
Yeah, people look so happy, don't they?
Yeah.
But anyway, she did it very well. She was, you know, and I was kind of nervous. I was looking at her like, I don't know what's going to happen here, but don't throw up on me or anything. because she looked a little nervous. But anyhow, we got back. But of course, the only thing was we did a selfie at the end, and she was like shaking like this, trying to take a selfie of us. So I'm not sure how well that came out.
Yeah. But what what I learned about that one is that, like, I kept tensing up on every time we go on a coaster. I would tense up. And by the time we got to, like, the fourth one, I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I was making these weird noises, like, you know, and Joyce was, like, scooting further and further away. She thought for sure I was going to get sick. But we're going through these coasters, and I realized, you know what? Everybody puts their hands up. Forget this. And I put my hands up in the air, and you know what?
It was better.
It was so much better. Yep. It was like all of that tension went. It was like, yeah. And so
I'm a coaster guy.
I'm actually taking her to Cedar Point with my niece one of these days, and the four-year-old can teach her how to do this.
Yeah, that's good. That's good right there. Yay! So here's the thing. I wanted that. I wanted somebody to, and I'm sure there's others of you who have overcome little things or even big things. Actually, that's a pretty big thing. You know, fear of heights is a toughie. Yeah. Yeah. So you know, overcoming is a great thing. But here's the thing. Well, you know what? Mark, why don't you come up here a second? I'm going to ask you to come up for something too. Mark doesn't know what he's coming up here for. We can do more things than we realize is what I'm trying to say. We can do more things than we realize. But of course, then there's people like Mark. See Mark. Have you noticed that Mark has a lot of testimonies? Yeah, I have too. Why do you suppose that Mark has more testimonies than anybody else?
He's a doer.
He's a doer? He does stuff? No. I think I know why Mark has more testimonies than anybody else. Well, when did... Well, he is kind of it. Sit. Anyway. I just want to know, Mark, when did you know that God wanted to use you in ways that he won't use anybody else and in special ways that other people can't do? When did you know that?
I've never realized that. He can use everybody.
No. Didn't you have a vision in the back where you saw the face of Jesus?
Yes,
and during that vision, didn't he tell you, I've chosen you to do the stuff that nobody else can do because, well, you're special.
No.
You're better than everybody else.
No.
He didn't?
No.
You mean you're not better than anybody else?
No.
So if you can do this stuff, other people can do this
Absolutely. Stuff?
Absolutely. Well, I don't know. See, when I was a young man, they would, you know, I had some stuff that happened around me, and then that's when they chose the powers that be, the clergy type people say, oh, you know, you should be one of us because you're not like the rest of the people. And I've never been able to understand that either. You can't understand it either, can you?
No.
All right, good. I'm so thankful that he doesn't understand that he's better than everybody else, because he's not.
That's right.
All right, thank you, Mark. Give him a hand for helping me out today. Give them a hand. Thank you for the testimony about overcoming. Here's the thing. Every one of us can have as many testimonies or even more than Mark. We can. We can. And maybe some of us, you know, are a little nervous about getting up and giving a testimony. That in and of itself can be hard, you know, just, okay, now I finally got a testimony I want to share, and I'm just out of my mind uncomfortable getting up and saying anything. I get it. Yeah, take Joyce with you. Don't tell Joyce, if anybody tells you a testimony they won't bring up here, you do what you do. Just make. Here's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer this. That's what a rhetorical question is. You don't have to respond. It's to make you think. How many of you already believe you can do as much as Mark, rhetorically? And you don't have to answer. How many of you already maybe thought in the back of your head some now and then, well, I can't quite do what that person over there does, or I can't quite do what that person over there does. Have you ever had those thoughts? I think we all have. I know I have. I've even heard people say, well, Tim, you know, you don't understand. I don't have the anointing of somebody like that. Like, I can't do what they do because I don't have the anointing. I don't have the anointing of a Mark, you know, Schnitke. Or you know, let's just look at some of these really known people. How many of you know who Todd White is? Yeah, I don't have a Todd White anointing. You know, I don't have that. He's got something that I don't have. Here's the reality. Todd White ain't got nothing that you don't have. And Todd would tell you that. Todd was here and spoke once before anybody knew who he was. Todd and I went to Taco Bell, and I got to say, he was amazing. Because he got in a habit of using what he had, and he was praying for everybody in the place practically. It was crazy watching him. Except for, you remember the story, he was kept missing this one couple. And I'm eating my burrito, and Todd's fasting, so he didn't. I don't even know why he went to Taco Bell with me, and then when he get there, he's like, oh, I'm fasting. So I was taking you out to lunch. No, I'm fasting. And then off he went. And finally, I went over and prayed with this couple. Started to, at least, and then Todd came over and interrupted what I was about to pray for, and he prayed for three or four things that I didn't quite realize needed to be prayed for, and then I finally looked at him and said, are you done? He goes, yeah. I go, good, my turn. And he goes, good. It made me really happy, and I prayed for the guy that was sitting there after he prayed for the guy's knee and her back and something else. Then I prayed for the guy for his ear, and he was deaf in one ear. I gave him a word of knowledge that he was deaf in one ear, and he says, yeah, totally. At one point, he says, who are you guys? And I prayed for his ear. And as I walked backwards and kept whispering, he kept saying, I can still hear you. I can still hear you, because he had his other ear plugged up. You know, you can do this stuff. You can do this stuff. And the reason you can do this stuff is because you got the exact same anointing as Todd White. It's called Jesus. That's the anointing that Todd operates out of. You may think it's his long, you know, dreadlocks, yeah. It's not his dreadlocks that he operates out of. It's his Jesus that he operates out of. I am who he says I am, so I can do what he says I can do. And I can probably do more than I think I can do. And I get it. I still have those moments where I look at a situation and I'm not sure what to do with it. And, you know, and sometimes I miss opportunities, and sometimes I get myself in the middle of something and I'm not smooth and not great at it. You know why Todd White's so good at what he does? Because he just does it all the time. He just does. He just does it all the time. We were driving on the way to Taco Bell, and he made me stop. So made me go around a square mile so we could come back and talk to a lady who was sitting in her car on break. We're on a work crew. Jumps out of the car, runs over, starts praying for her while she's sitting in the car. This is a crazy man. Each and every one of us are capable of more. More. Now, I'm not trying to say that to burden you to try to take on more or to make you feel under, you know, oh, now I've got to do more. Pastor Tim preached no more. Nah, okay. As soon as we leave the service, I'll try to do more. I don't really want it to be like that. I want you to respond according to your ability. Your ability is Jesus. I think that, you know, we need to know that. And then we need to just be like, okay, God, open my eyes to what I'm not seeing. Because we do. We walk by things that we don't see. By the way, I don't think that's really uncommon. You know, the Apostle Peter would walk down the street and people would be healed by his shadow. And we always say, that's really amazing. Do you know why they had to be healed by his shadow? Because he didn't see him and remember to pray for him. I don't know that that's true, but maybe it is. Maybe he's just walking along. He's so busy with stuff that the Lord's, well, I'll have to heal him with his shadow because he won't stop and pray for him. I don't know. How many of you are busy? Are you busy? We all got stuff to do. And as soon as we don't think we've got stuff to do, some crazy preacher gets up and gives us more stuff to do. Give me a break, preacher. I'm not trying to burden you, but what I do want to see happen to each of us, me included, is for us to step into our destiny and step into greater levels of the destiny that God called us to be part of. So, here's a quick question. Just who do you think you are? Does anybody remember this song? I'm a conqueror. Victorious, I'm reigning with Jesus. I'm seated in heavenly places with him. For the kingdom of God is within me. I know no retreat, only victory. Because the kingdom of God is within me. I know no retreat, only strength and power. Yep, she's clapping her hands. Who remembered that besides me? Just a handful of people. We used to sing songs like that all the time. I wonder, you know, I love the way we do worship today. I really do. I think it has some really wonderful things about it. We sing pretty much directly to God. And I'm not sure that song should even be considered praise and worship. It's not really praise and worship as though we were worshiping God with it, in a way. But it spoke to us. The Jesus freaks sang songs like that all the time. We did. Here's another song. It's actually a scripture, 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people to show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness, into His marvelous light, into His marvelous light. Again, not like, whoa, God, you're so good, I love you. But it was speaking to us about who we were. It was a declaration. It wasn't a song of praise and worship, but it was a song of declaration. Good word, honey. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We sang that one too. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Now, some of you are singing along with me. You remember it. Old things have passed away. I've been born again, more than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. You know, I'm not saying that we need to change and go back to all those old songs. Some of you are looking like, please don't. I got it. I understand. We sing a lot of weird songs too. But here's the thing. Sometimes those things help us by declaring over ourselves who we are. It starts to help us realize who we are. We start to realize what He says about us. You're a new species. You're different. You're supposed to be different. It's okay that you're different. If they tilt their head and look at you a little bit, like, it's good. They've noticed that you're different. They may make fun of your difference because they don't understand it, but you're different. Nudge somebody next to you and go, you know, you're a little different. It's a little different. I've noticed that. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6 reads this way, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You are already seated with Him in heavenly places. Yeah, just get off the end of the boat. Jump on that roller coaster. You know, I'm the guy that writes about being fearless all the time. I took my son to Cedar Point one time, and he goes, Dad, we got to do that power tower. And I love roller coasters and everything. And I'm like, okay, I'm cool. Let's go. And we get in line and we get on the thing and we strap in. And he goes, and we start to go up and he goes, oh man, so we probably should have taken the other one. What other one? Well, there's one that throws you up and then lets you just fall. And then there's one that goes to the top and you sit there and you wait. And then it doesn't just drop you. It pushes you downward. And you're not like going forward this way. It's just your stomach's here, and then your stomach's here. You know, your stomach goes right from here, straight up, right out the top of your head. And he starts doing this to me. He was just messing with me. But he goes, oh yeah, he says, this thing will kill you. He says, this is just the worst ride. He starts saying all this stuff as we're rising up. I'm thinking, what are you trying? You were the one that talked me into it. You don't want to be on here. And he says, no, he says, I'm just messing with you. But we get up to the top, and he's already fed all this stuff to me. And we get to the top, and it goes click and just sits there for a while. And you don't know when it's going to let you go. But, you know, I just took it all in. I went, man, look at the, it really was. You could see way out into Lake Erie. It was cool. And then all of a sudden, you just hear this click, and it just throws you down. My stomach just went, rough. But I loved it. Let's do it again. I was seated in heavenly places with my son that day, way up in the top. Romans 12, verses 2 and 3 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's verse 2. You got to change the way you think about you. And going on, because that's what it's actually talking about. "For I say, through the grace given me to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith." Some of you are going to be like, "Well, I don't know if my measure is as much as somebody else's measure." Your measure is what God gave you, and it's Jesus, and my faith is in him. We could debate all that detail-wise and everything, but here's what I want to get at. Have you ever, by the way, have you ever run into anybody who just thinks they're all that in a bag of chips? Mm-hmm, yeah. Hey, have you, you married that once, long time ago. Have you ever thought you were all that in a bag of chips, John? I mean, have you ever? When he was a younger man, he might have thought that a couple of times, but he's married now, and Bree's made sure he's not thinking that anymore. I mean, just, take that right out of you. You know, I think every man, I don't know about women, but almost every man has had that time when he thought he was all that in a bag of chips. And
really proud of my hair.
You were really proud of your hair. Yeah. I know. I'm touched with the feeling of your infirmity. The reality is, without Jesus, we're not all that in a bag of chips. We're all that in a bag of shiitake mushrooms. Yeah, yeah. You know what a mushroom is, don't you? You know how they grow mushrooms? They put them in dark places and throw manure over them. That's how they grow mushrooms. Those mushrooms you guys love to eat on your pizzas? Yeah, there you go. Just made them more delicious, didn't I? Yeah, they grow, a lot of times they grow mushrooms in dark caves. And I know I'm being a little bit silly here. But the reality is, without Jesus, we're just in the dark too. That's what I really want to get at. It's no longer who you are. You are no longer in the dark under a layer of dew. You come out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Yeah? Yeah. That's who you are. Sometimes I don't think we think that. I sometimes think we just were so used to being in the dark about certain things that we think that we, you know, it's that's just a little bit too much. We still got a little bit of that stinking thinking on us. And we need to cast off that dew, that stinking thinking, and come out fully into the light so that he can just pour out on us what he wants to pour out on us. Because the truth of the matter is, now you are all that and a bag of chips. You really are. You're amazing now. And sometimes you don't think you're amazing. And sometimes I don't think I'm amazing. Because instead of recognizing who I am in him, I still look at who I am without him. And who I am without him isn't, yeah, it's mushrooms. Shiitake mushrooms, just to be exact. Again, I am who he says I am, so I can do what he says I can do. It's not wrong to realize that you're royalty, that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. And if we really realize that we're royalty, we'll act like real royalty acts. You know, real royalty doesn't walk into the room expecting everybody else to notice how great they are. Real royalty, when they get together with other royalty, realize, I know who I really am, and I don't have to act. If we start acting like royalty, then we'll act nobly. Nobility is part of our call to do noble things. Not that I want larger attendance necessarily only this Wednesday, but This Wednesday, it was already mentioned, we're having a prayer and soaking kind of a time here. And we normally keep it right at an hour. And there's usually just a handful of us that are there. And that's okay. But, you know what would make that prayer and soaking time so much better? You. You. Yeah. Fighting over who's going to work so they can come to prayer. No, why would it be so much better if you were there? Because you're royalty. Because you're special. Because you're amazing. We gather and soak in his presence. And his presence is in you. And the more of us that are gathered together, the greater the level of his presence that we can experience, because we can draw from each other. Who knows what God might do? We get the right mix of people or a greater mix of people. It's just, that's kind of why he wants us to gather together. That's what it's about. I want more of God's presence. Well, I've already got all of Jesus I can get. Yeah, but I'm not aware of it because sometimes what I see about him is reflected better in you. And that's why he was the one that came up with this idea of us gathering together. This wasn't my idea. I've said that a lot of times. I'm not sure people realize it. We are moving rapidly now toward what is considered to be the holiday season. In the next 6 weeks, you all are going to have a lot of stuff. Stuff. A lot of stuff. And it's going to be good stuff for the most part, I think. Most of us are going to have a lot of interactions over the next 6 weeks that maybe in some cases we don't get at all during the rest of the year. And did you realize that? 6 weeks. I mean, a couple weeks and it's Thanksgiving. 4 more weeks and it's Christmas. Boom. Boom, shakalakalaka. It's going to happen before we know what's going on. It goes by really quick, doesn't it? Just having a little fun here today. I'm glad you all can laugh. We are going to be with family and friends and people that need us to shine. They need us to shine. They really do. They need us to rise up and be who we're supposed to be in their presence. And maybe they need to shine too, but they need someone to encourage them. Someone will help them. We're going to have opportunities to change atmospheres. We're going to have opportunities to represent Jesus. Think represent Jesus. Now, I just got this question too. Does anybody have one of those people, maybe relatively speaking people, like they're your relatives, who, like, some of the family's almost like, if they don't come this year, it'll not be a problem because, Yeah, if they're busy, we'd understand. And then they do show up, and you're like, oh, gonna have to deal with this today. Oh, man. Yeah, that's why we're staying home. And hiding under a blanket. No, I'm just kidding. Let your light so shine before men. Remember, don't put it under a bushel. They show up and it makes a difference, but what if you show up and it makes a bigger difference? Come on. You can show up and it can make a bigger difference, but you got to believe. You got to engage your believer to recognize what's inside of you and think, you know what? I just need to walk in there and let Jesus out. He's going to let Jesus out all over him. Well, they'll think I'm weird. I remember this one preacher. He said, we've all got this weird Uncle Jesus. That's how he described weird Uncle Jesus, and once in a while he gets out. And the family finds out we got weird Uncle Jesus, and he just shows up with us someplace. You know what, though? I prophesy over you. You let Jesus out of you in front of your family, even if it comes out kind of weird, next time they won't be worried about that person coming, they'll be worried about you coming. But it'll be okay, see? It'll be good. And the other person, like if If they're bringing the devil and you bring Jesus, the devil's going to be hesitant to show up next time because he does not want to see Jesus again. Just saying. You know, there are a lot of our family members, friends, and people that we see in the holiday season that just need to be loved. They just need somebody to love them. And I'm not saying it's easy. Sometimes it's not. But they just need somebody to love them. So I believe that you can be the difference. I believe that you can be and should be the difference. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them." Here's a promise. Grab that one before you head to Thanksgiving this year. You have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. See, I just needed to remind myself of this today if you didn't need to hear it. I just need to be reminded that greater is he that's in me, and I got to just go where I go with him and just let him out to touch lives and make a difference. You can be the one who makes the difference. It's part of what we talk about here at Bethel Defiance, to be the one. You can be the one who makes a difference. You can be the one who changes the atmosphere from what that person normally changes it to something completely better. You can be the one. Believe. I wrote this down. It's kind of an awkward sentence, but I want to read it to you. Believe in who the one who is in you has made you to be. Let me say that again. See if you can grab that. Believe in who the one who is in you has made you to be. In other words, believe in the you that he made you to be.